Climate may not always top the list of voter concerns, but compelling research suggests it can tip the scales in U.S. presidential elections. And researchers say that environment-focused voters were an essential part of the winning margin for Joe Biden's 2020 bid for the White House. Their surveys also found that a quarter of Republicans who see climate change as, quote, very important, went for Biden in that election. And their numbers show that if levels of concern about the climate had remained stagnant from polling in 2016, Donald Trump would have likely won re-election in 2020.
And Jenny, the numbers of climate-focused voters today may still be small compared to other constituencies, but when elections are very close, every vote does make a difference. And of course, the climate emergency is only getting worse. And that is why the Environmental Voter Project is trying to mobilize nearly 5 million environment-first voters they have identified through polling who might not otherwise turn out. So Living on Earth's Ainsley O'Neill spoke with founder and executive director Nathaniel Stinnett. Let's take a listen.
Remember, the 2020 presidential election was so close that it was decided by just 44,000 people in three states, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia. 44,000 voters decided the 2020 presidential election. And so there are a whole bunch of issue constituency groups who could have had an impact. But for climate voters in particular, a recent University of Colorado Boulder study of polls and voter files and predictive models, not just in those three states, but also in other important battleground states, showed that the increase in climate-concerned voters from 2016 to 2020, so new climate voters in that 2020 election, had a large enough impact that it delivered the White House to Joe Biden. So climate voters didn't just have an impact in 2020. There's good reason to believe that they literally decided the election, at least for the White House.
Well, so let's paint a picture of an environment-first voter. How does the EVP define that?
We define it as people who are already registered to vote, and they either list climate change as their number one priority, or they list clean air, clean water, and the environment as their number one priority. So these are people who don't just care about environmental issues. It is their top priority.
When many people picture somebody who cares about the environment, they might be thinking, young, liberal person, large metal water bottle, and driving a Prius. How accurate is that representation of an environment-first voter?
So it's not inaccurate, but there's a lot more nuance than people might otherwise think. So yes, environment-first voters are disproportionately young, and they are disproportionately progressive. But what some people might not know is that the second largest age group of environment-first voters is people age 65 and up. So we need to start thinking of the climate movement and the environment movement as not just being young hipsters, but also being grandmothers and grandfathers, because it's increasingly a movement made up of 20-year-olds and 60-year-olds and 70-year-olds.
Now, Nathaniel, when politicians in Washington, D.C. talk about environment, they don't always lump together clean air, clean water, and climate action. So why does the Environmental Voter Project do that when they define an environment-first voter?
Well, for two reasons. One is just logistically speaking. We need to try to isolate a group of people who we can define and then mobilize to vote. And it's always easier to do that if you're not parsing it down by particular sub-issues or particular policy proposals. But the second reason is we at the Environmental Voter Project care about all of those sub-issues. We care about the climate crisis. We care about cleaning up toxic air and toxic water. We care about the environment. And we firmly believe that if we dramatically increase the number of voters who care about those issues, then politicians will respond. And yes, each policy proposal presents a different set of issues, and oftentimes politicians will think one way or the other. But the one thing we're confident of is nothing motivates a politician more than the prospect of winning or losing an election. So no matter what environmental policy they are presented with, if there are more and more environmental voters in their district each year, these politicians will be more likely to lead on clean air, to lead on clean water, and to lead on the climate crisis because we've created this voter demand for it in their district.
And when you take a look at both climate, but then also clean air, clean water, do you have any numbers on how those different proportions play out?
So the reason we try to catch both of those sort of subgroups of environmentalists is because we often expect there to not be perfect overlap. We expect there to be big differences, or at least measurable differences, between people who care deeply about the climate crisis as opposed to people who care deeply about other environmental issues. But there isn't that much of a difference. Every time we measure this, we find that people who care about one environmental issue tend to also care deeply about other environmental issues. And the numbers have been pretty steadily going up. We have found that across the United States, roughly 8 or 9% of registered voters are likely to list climate or other environmental issues as their top priority. And that aligns with most public polling that we're seeing.
But Nathaniel, I've seen this statistic that, according to the Pew Research Center, protecting the environment doesn't even make the top 10 priorities of American voters in 2024. So why do environment-first voters matter?
Well, first off, let's just say it's true that there are far, far too few climate-first and environment-first voters. And that lack of political power is much of the reason why politicians rarely lead on climate. Because when there are too few voters who prioritize climate, politicians don't feel the need to address it. But to get to your question, the reason it's important still is because there are millions of non-voters who do care deeply about climate and environment. And they could make a huge difference if they show up on election day. But that if is a really, really big, underlined, bold if, because climate first and environment first voters don't always show up.
In that case, to what extent do you think they might determine the outcome of this upcoming election?
So at the Environmental Voter Project, we work in 19 states, and we've identified 4.8 million already registered environment first voters who are unlikely to vote this fall unless they get mobilized to do so. But that's a huge number, especially when you consider that only 44,000 voters decided the last presidential election. So the climate movement has a lot of potential electoral power pent up here. It's just a question of whether it will be actualized. Now, as far as could they make a difference? Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, let's just look at two of the most important swing states. In Pennsylvania, a state that was decided by 80,000 votes in 2020, the Environmental Voter Project has identified 250,000 of these low propensity environment first voters. Another example, in Nevada, another crucial swing state that was decided by just 33,000 votes 4 years ago, we've identified 110,000 of these low propensity climate voters. So in short, if climate voters show up, they could absolutely decide the 2024 election.
Nathaniel Stinnett, founder and executive director of the Environmental Voter Project, speaking with Living on Earth's Ainsley O'Neill.